I'm John.
And I'm Ash.
And this is a holiday edition of You're Damn Right. We're just going to talk about the season finale of Fargo, and I guess the not even really the winter finale, just like the mid-season finale, I guess, of American Horror Story Hotel. Which one do you want to start with, Ash?
I guess we get American Horror Story out of the way.
All right, let's get it out of the way. So, what did you think of the most recent episode, She Gets Revenge?
It wasn't, great, but I did like it better than some of the others, but I think the main reason why I liked it, was because the Liz Taylor storyline. That was probably, the highlight of the whole episode. Liz Taylor's storyline was pushed more to the forefront this episode, and it was the best, probably one of the best storylines of the season, to be honest.
Yeah, honestly, anytime Liz Taylor is focused, it's a highlight of this season. Do you care at all about hate watching people murder each other?
Nope.
Okay. I'm trying to think what significant that we're recording this about a week after the episode aired. Trying to think, did what significant happened? The children were back. How do you? They are actually sort of being incorporated into the storyline now. Do you still hate it just as much as you did before?
Well, I'm glad they, actually bringing them into the storyline. They're just not, they in the hotel.
Yeah, so I mean, it was fucking bizarre for, the 3 or 4 weeks where they were just like, oh, these children are vampires and killed a bunch of people, and then we just forgot about them. So, I it's still not my favorite storyline, but at least, it's somehow connected to the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was kind of disappointed that there wasn't more Ramona Royale. But even though, the kids might be getting killed, by the way.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
But I would have thought it would have been more, based on the title, been more, Ramona Royale, considering that,
Who got revenge, Ash? Who is the she? Who got the revenge? Was it Kathy Bates?
Kathy Bates and Liz Taylor.
They are the she. I mentioned that our last recording, that that's such a vague title that it could mean any of these women. I think it was misleading. It was leading the audience to believe that Ramona Royale would get her revenge. But, I'll say one thing I like about this episode, other than Liz Taylor, is Kathy Bates' emergence, her character's emergence as an independent person. And it's sort of, I think one of the smartest things the season has done, and it's not a high bar, but one of the smartest things the season has done is, I feel like Kathy Bates' character is a commentary on sort of our culture of extended adolescence and, mothers babying their sons and parents babying their children far after what should be their adolescence and still treating them like children and taking care of them. And, this has gone on Kathy Bates for years and years and years and years. And, she's finally reached a point where she's like, I'm my own sentient adult and my life doesn't have to revolve around my children. And I think that's a new story within the context of the horror genre. So, I like that.
Yeah, me too. I felt bad for her character. I was like, she made this slideshow, to put on her Instagram, with 3 followers, by the way. It's oh, no.
Those 3 people get a treat.
Yeah, so, before her suicide. It's oh, man, that's so fucking depressing.
I guess Donovan gets the award for biggest idiot asshat of the series.
I can't, Donovan. You're so stupid. You're such an idiot.
Yeah. Scale of 1 to 10 excitement level for American Horror Story coming back in January.
Is that 1 to 10?
Yeah.
I guess excitement, I'll say about 5.
I'm gonna go with like 2. Like I'm to the point where like if we're not covering it for this podcast, I'm probably not watching it. I'm done. I'm so like emotional. I have emotionally checked out of the hotel completely. It's like whatever happens, happens. Which leads, I guess, which should, well, do you have anything else to add on American Horror Story Hotel?
Not really.
No. Which, should lead us to a show that has ended and that I was emotionally invested in for the entirety of.
Yeah.
There's a pretty unique finale for the season 2 of Fargo. What did you think of the finale? Do you have any particular insights you want to start with?
I really did, love the finale. I think some people was like didn't seem to like it or enjoy it, but I actually really liked it because, I guess they're probably expecting more action or something.
Yeah.
But I felt like this episode picked up where it left off, and then it became like a cool down episode. Like after you do the exercise and then you do the cool down period, it tied up, loose ends. It, you know, I think it was done really well.
I agree. I think sort of the pushback against this episode, to the degree that there is pushback against Fargo at all, because I mean, when you're saying pushback, it's like within like a hardcore fan base because this is the
Yeah.
most critically acclaimed series of the year. So it's not there's not a lot of pushback anywhere against Fargo. But I think we have been sort of systematically accustomed, sort of designed to expect like these big events to happen in the finale, these
Yeah.
game changers, because when you think of major TV series, whether it's The Wire or Breaking Bad or The Shield or any of these, and you could list several more, any of these like landmark television series, like the season finales are a big fucking deal because
Yeah.
they are essentially giving you a reason to watch next year. Not
Yeah.
only does Fargo not seem to be that concerned with who or how many people are watching, which is a whole completely different conversation,
Yeah.
it there this nothing that could be done in the finale would give you a reason to watch next year because next year is going to be set in like 2009. It's going to have nothing to do with this year other than maybe like a couple loose tangential things. So yeah, it was a cool, you said cool down episode. I thought it was a very philosophical episode. There was a lot of
Yeah.
conversation. There was a really beautiful conversation that Lou's dying wife, I'm bad with names, has with the girl who works at his store. And she's like, brings up her Camus thing again. Like, knowing that we're going to die makes life absurd. Which is a valid existential argument, but I thought it was refuted very, very well by the dying woman. What's her name?
I can't remember.
The dying woman. Great job by her. And seriously, though, like there was just a lot of conversation, and like, what was the big payoff for Mike Milligan? He went in, he manipulated the situation, he killed people left and right, and he slit throats. So what's the payoff? He gets to work behind the desk and figure out a way to save money. I think it was brilliant because it just subverted, not only did it subvert expectations of the viewer, because like Fargo and Noah Hawley and the people who make Fargo are very aware what you're expecting. They do a great job of playing with that. But it also subverted like the
Yeah,
ideas of violence and the themes that have I should say it subverted the themes that have been playing throughout the season, because like the idea of violence and force being like the most powerful thing is completely shut down. And I don't know, there was a lot I liked about the finale, and a lot I liked about the season. Let me ask you something. Do you agree or disagree with the following statement? We know, this is not my statement, this is, I'm trying to remember who said this, it might have actually been Noah Hawley. As you can no longer surprise television viewers by what happens. They have a certain expectation for shocks and revelations, and you cannot surprise them by what happens, you can only surprise them by when it happens.
Well,
Go ahead.
I don't know. If they're always expecting something, then when it happens, does it really matter?
Well, I say that
If they're always
because
expecting it.
the penultimate episode with the alien ship and the shootout and all of
That's.
that, which seems like a finale, was the next to last episode. And then the last episode is a lot of talking and a lot of philosophic meandering and the idea of like one cruel act and one kind. I mean, it was just a lot of like philosophy in action. Like if you took a philosophy 101 course, here's how it looks played out in this world that we've created over 9 episodes, which is surprising, not because of what happened, but because of when it happened. Just like the big
That's
shootout in
true.
spaceship are kind of surprising. The spaceship might just be surprising on its own because it was a fucking spaceship. But, I mean, the big shootout is not surprising that it happened. It's surprising that it happened, and then there's still like 2 hours of the show left to go after like this thing we've been building toward all year.
Don't remind me of
What's that?
the season 4 of Buffy, where the big battle
Yeah, yeah,
happened
yeah.
before, and then it happened. The finale was something totally different. Like it wasn't.
That did happen. I think maybe for different reasons. Correct me if I'm wrong. You have a lot more Buffy trivia knowledge than I do. I've kind of felt like they did that in Buffy because they realized that like the main storyline wasn't working and they wanted to end on a better point.
I think it was supposed to be a, because they knew, if I'm not mistaken, they knew already that they were going to have a season 5, so they put that in it to kind of like build up for season 5 with the Dawn, you know, and that storyline and stuff like that, and what's going to push the cactus forward.
You guys can check out our Buffy podcast, Your Childhood Trauma, on all the same channels we air. You're damn right on. Back to Fargo for a minute. We're gonna do awards. We're gonna have a separate award show here in a moment, and we're gonna talk about Fargo within those awards. But I want to bring something to your attention. Kirsten Dunst has been nominated for more awards so far, in like the real award world, be that Critics' Choice Awards, TCA Awards, Screen Actors Guild Awards. She has been nominated more, and Patrick Wilson has been nominated more than Bokeem Woodbine has been. It's not that Bokeem Woodbine is not up for any awards, but he doesn't have the number of nominations mounting that those two have. What do you have an explanation for this? Do you have a reasoning for this?
I'm not, I don't know. It's like, 'cause he definitely pulls, you know, great performances, like every scene. Even though he was a scene stealer, literally, you know, like he stole the scene, like in every scene he was in. So I don't know.
I mean, my only explanation is like maybe there's some bias there toward the fact that Kirsten Dunst and Patrick Wilson are both known names, Kirsten Dunst especially, and like Bokeem Woodbine. Literally, I had no idea what that guy's name was before the season started. But I mean, and he's probably gonna win a Critics' Choice Award and an Emmy. I mean, like. The guy was outstanding, but I just find it odd because, like, when I kept walking away from these episodes, I kept going, God, I like that. I like Mike Milligan. I like that Bokeem Woodbine. But, and
Yeah.
a couple, there were a couple of times I went like, wow, Kirsten Dunst was really good. It just wasn't
Yeah.
nearly as often. I don't
Yeah.
know. But anyway, so we were at, this is the final time we'll be talking about Fargo for a while, sans award show. What were you, this is your first season with Fargo. You did not watch season one. You did not see the movie, which both of these things you should be doing over your holidays.
Yeah, sorry.
What was your final takeaway? What's your big, if you had to write like a thesis statement, season two, what do you
Wow, so good. Thank you, English teacher.
got?
Well, I enjoy